Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Clyde. So Clyde, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'm Clyde, Clyde Kelly Adkins, and I am in LA currently working on a direct-to-consumer sustainable lawn care startup called Gnome at trinome.com.
Awesome. So can you tell us a little bit more about Gnome and what y'all do, and actually how you got the idea to start this company?
Yeah, well, I think the idea originally came from, you know, many years of growing up in North Carolina and being on my grandpa's farm, and also coming in contact with a friend through the consulting world after coming out to LA, who grew up, you know, spending a lot of time in his mom's garden. And I think in both cases, we had seen that there were, you know, natural products that were better than a lot of what, candidly, what my family was using on the farm and on our lawn in North Carolina. And so I was learning a lot from him. And we also saw a company out there called Sunday that was doing something similar for lawn care. And we were like, you know, this makes a lot of sense. We think we can do this in a way that's more fun and more relatable. And so we came up with the brand for Gnome, and we really ran with it together. That friend's name is Pierce. And so Pierce is my co-founder. And yeah, so that's how it all came to start.
Awesome. So can you tell me just more about what Gnome does? What makes you better than your competition?
Yeah, so Gnome is, it's like I said, direct consumer lawn care. We do fertilizer, weed control, and pest control. And the thing that we really have as our main tenant is to make sure everything is safe for people, pets, and the planet. So I mentioned sustainability is one of the core things. That's why we do all liquid products, because they absorb better into the soil. A lot of environmental issues you get with fertilizer are because people use pellet-based fertilizers that can run off into local waterways, and those create algae blooms, which really screws up the food chain. So that's, you know, that's kind of one overarching tenet we have is, you know, if you're buying with Gnome, we've built this from the ground up to be safe. And so we really want that level of trust. And we think that will come through over time as we just continue to make the right choices in every product that we release. So we have, our core product is the Magic Lawn Plant. So I would say our main value prop is not just that we're natural, but also that you don't have to know what you're doing. You can just trust the gnomes. It works like magic because it's backed by science, and we have custom plans for everyone. It creates a lot of operational complexity for us, but we're super proud of what we've built. It's a database, the Soil IQ database. I was actually just digging into it before this call. It's really an amazing data set that we have on soil from all around the country, because we also do soil testing by mail. So we do soil testing by mail. That helps us inform these custom plans that we give people. The custom plans, the core of it is fertilizer. We also do weed control and pest control. And I think having all of that together, and again, doing it in a way that people can trust is safe, is really what sets us apart. I would also add that we're super price competitive. We're trying to be fair and provide a great value. And we also guarantee results or your money back. So I think all those things really set us apart from the competition.
That's amazing. So in terms of the science part, how much testing did it take to actually find the right ingredients to make this perfect product?
It took a lot, and it is tough to test. Thankfully, we have a great partner, a venture capital partner, and that allowed us to spend a good amount of time getting the product right before we came to market. And it takes time. That's the biggest thing, is you can spray this stuff, but you can't tell right away. You know, it's not like product testing a food product where you can immediately get the taste and you can see how it makes you feel. You kind of have to see how your lawn reacts to it. So that takes time. But initially, it did start with a lot of just very kind people in the industry who are willing to spend time and help educate us further. And so we did, you know, we both came from a consulting background, so we were used to kind of doing expert interviews. We got experts from every region of the United States to define for us what their ideal care plan was. So we started from that, and then we layered on these thousands of data points of different soil tests and started to identify, like, okay, you know, this expert does this, but also in this region, they tend to be low in magnesium or whatever it may be. And so we'll layer on things like that. And that's kind of how it started, I would say.
So how did you pick the name of your company? It's a bit unique name. So this just came into my mind.
Yeah, I do think I love the name Gnome. It came out of brainstorming together with our, you know, my co-founder, as well as our capital partner. And so it was very much a brain trust in the beginning when this was just, you know, pre anything. It was just an idea. And we liked the concept. We had seen what Sunday was doing. We thought that doing it with a more fun brand was a big part of it. And so the name Gnome really like cemented that, I think, for all of us, that like this is the vision of Sunday, but in a way that's just more kind of fun and relatable, and also more, I would say, more natural. So yeah, and it's tricky having a name like that because making up a word is very good for naming, obviously, because you can trademark it a lot easier. But Gnome is, I think, really memorable.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. So how do you incorporate technology in your daily business?
Yeah, technology is really everything. I think there are decisions we've made that have made our lives harder with respect to, you know, we're a Shopify business, but we have one SKU, the Magic Lawn Plan, could be any of 12 to 15 different formulas that we have, depending on where that person is, whether they've taken a soil test, what their soil test says. So we've had to build a lot of custom applications to define, you know, the Soil IQ database really is the core of it, what I mentioned before. So we have, of course, a full stack of Shopify apps, you know, to do the classic post-purchase surveys, post-purchase upsells, in-cart upsells, subscriptions. We're very heavily subscription-based. So it runs on technology. Plus, we've had to build custom apps, first of all, to process soil test results, put them into a database, format them nicely, and give people, you know, clear recommendations based on those soil test results. That took us a lot of time to put together. And then now we have also our plan generator that generates plans based on everything I mentioned before.
Okay, cool. And do you have your own team or your in-house team for handling all these tech-related things? Are you outsourced to someone? Are you doing this on your own?
Yeah, we have devs that are basically full-time team members that are contractors.
Okay.
And we've had devs here in the US, and then we've had devs in India. And I think we're now expanding our contractor dev team.
Oh, great. Great. So have you ever think about something crazy in tech world? Sorry, I'm asking everything about tech because I'm a tech guy.
Yeah.
That's I always evolve around it. So, yeah. So have
Me
you
too.
Ever, oh, that's great. That's great. So have you ever think about something crazy, something doing crazy in tech to support your business?
Like what would be an example?
Like if you have ever think about the AI integrating the artificial intelligence, virtual reality, augmented reality, or something that is too much high tech, or at least sophisticatedly high tech.
I think so. I think the best example that comes to mind is, you know, we've talked a lot about having a mobile app, which is, I think, nothing too crazy, but the functionalities that we want within that mobile app, there's one that is high on our wish list, which is something to be able to take a photo of grass and identify the species of grass, because 40% of the customers that take our intake survey don't know what type of grass they have. So that would hugely improve our ability to, you know, design a plan for them if we knew exactly what species of grass they have.
Awesome. So in terms of species of grass soil tests, so can you talk just more about that? Obviously, like I live in Texas and our soil is different here in North Texas than anywhere else in the country. So can you talk just more about what that looks like for these soil tests?
Yeah, I mean, could I screen share?
Sure, yeah.
I don't know if
Yeah.
that'll be, it might be tough for people that are just listening, but I'll show you what the basically everyone receives an email and a PDF output. And I will just scroll past this person's name to keep it anonymous. And can you see this soil condition here?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this, what we get back from our lab, we're partnered with a lab and they give us raw numerical results in an Excel table essentially. And so what we've done is we've spent a lot of time to define what's the ideal range for turf grass for all of these essentially metrics. And it's not just nutrients, it's exchange capacity, pH, the organic matter percentage, nitrogen release. So all of these things, we have a product that can target and fix anything that is, that is less than optimal here. So this is kind of what it looks like. And so this comes attached to an email. And in addition to this, you receive like a write-up in the body of the email that tells you, hey, this is your grade on each of these dimensions, and here are the products that can help with that. And the way that it works is essentially we just mail you a sample bag for you to just scoop soil into, and it comes with a prepaid shipping label. You just slap the shipping label back on it and put it in the mail. I was looking through our results today, and we as a policy don't ship to Hawaii or Alaska, but somehow some of them have gotten through. So we now have soil samples from all 50 states. And with the few samples we have, Hawaii and Alaska are blowing the other states out of the water on organic matter. They have the most organic matter by far. It's really cool.
Yeah, I believe it. But I'm saying, like, when it comes to different states, right, which is really cool, like, I'm sure that some of these soils, like, there are certain, trends that you notice are more regional, right? Because you have, like I said, it's like our soil here, like, we're living in a desert. It's something where I have a couple of properties in the summertime. We don't get rain, so I have to water it. There's, there's all these issues here with our
Yep.
soil. So I guess, do you see that, or, like, what does that look like for you when it comes to, I guess, regional demand?
Yeah, that's very, it definitely comes through in demand for the product too. We'll notice in areas where there's drought, all of a sudden people are, much more keen to do things that help their lawn. That happened last summer where a lot of places along the East Coast, it was a lot hotter than they were used to, a lot more dry, and their grass was yellow in the summer when they're used to it not being like quite as brittle. So there's a lot that we can do for that. I would say for Texas specifically, we love Texas. We have a formula that we've developed and we produce in Texas called Lone Star Lawn Food, and we have a plan for Texas specifically as well. I mentioned the biggest differences between cool season and warm season grass. And that's really important at the macro level because that determines when the grass is growing, and it's based on the soil temperature. So cool season and warm season grass grow at different temperatures, essentially. So you don't want to give them nitrogen unless they're growing, or else it'll have a negative effect. It can burn the grass. So that's the biggest thing that we look at, and it is on a zip code level. We have an API that looks at soil temperature by zip code. And so we can go and say, for this person, their soil temperature is going to hit growing time in, mid-September. So we tell them to apply their first pouch at that time. So just as an example.
That's
And then
awesome.
te
Yeah,
like
go ahead.
Texas or places where it's dry like that in the summer, we also have formulas that are specifically for hydration. So like our Texas plan, we don't feed a lot of nitrogen in like the fall or spring. It's much more concentrated in the summer because it's a warm season grass. And then on the bookends, we'll feed, humic acids, kelp, things that help with water retention.
Yeah, in Texas, like, I'm originally from the Chicago area, and it's like when I moved here, I didn't know anything about the soil, and it's like now I have to learn. I have properties here. It's like, okay, I have to water my foundation. I have to, like, it's all these things. Like, I had no idea being a homeowner. So yeah, it's definitely something that I know is a pain point for me, and I can tell you, yeah, as you said, man, Texas, like, this is going to be a huge product.
Watering is a whole can of worms on its own too. We get a lot of questions about watering. That's another thing that I neglected to mention in what makes us stand out, but like, that's one of our brand tenets too, is just that we love our customers, and that's, we exist to make people's grass greener. And so we're going to do everything we can to like have the best knowledge base and be able to share it with people, even if it's not related to something that is our product. If it's just related to helping people grow greener grass, we're going to do it. So watering is another one that we try to give a lot of advice about, because we get a lot of inbound questions about that.
In terms of inbound questions, what does that look like for you? Is it more via email? Do you have like a chat bot? Like, how do your customers communicate with you?
Yeah, we've gone through a lot of iterations with that. Initially, when we launched, we were kind of in the do things that don't scale camp. Like, we had a phone number out there that went directly to me. Like, I was answering all the calls. And, you know, that quickly we realized that there, you know, we needed to kind of bring some people on board. We had an amazing director of customer care who kind of set up our function. And now it's much more skewed towards email. It's like 50 to 70% of our tickets come through email. And chat, we don't offer 24/7 chat support. It's just business hours when we're actually live, because I think like people don't want to chat if it's going to take more than 30 seconds to talk to someone. But to your point, the AI chatbot is something that we're working on right now. We're on Gorgeous, and I think we will potentially use the Gorgeous chatbot. We're considering kind of bringing in our own chatbot as well. But that's something that I'm super excited about. And also, I've seen some demos of the chatbots just trained on our website's data. Like, we didn't give it any of our like training toolkit for our CX agents. They just looked at our website, and it was already very good.
It's insane, like, how good AI technology has gotten when it comes to chatbots. I feel like, you know, people have this, oh, I hate chatbots, they're all bad. It's like, no, yeah, I mean, like, the older ones are not as good from 5 years ago. You know, the technology today has gotten so advanced, to your point, where you won't even notice the difference that you're talking to, like, a chatbot versus an actual person.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, if I think about so much of what we teach our CX agents truly is just an if this, then that. So it just makes so much sense.
Yeah, definitely. So what would you say is the biggest challenge right now for your business?
That's a good question. I'm kind of between two things. I think one is probably an answer that a lot of people would say at any given time, which is just being able to acquire a customer in a way that you can pay back your CAC in a reasonable time period. And, you know, like, that as it relates to cash flow dynamics as well, and just being able to finance user acquisition in the near term if you don't have short enough payback periods. That's the eternal struggle, I think, of any e-com business, probably any SaaS business. I think number two that comes to mind that might be a little bit more unique to Gnome is seasonality, and just going into the winter, seeing that, you know, we're not doing as much user acquisition right now because, you know, we're going into the fall. This is definitely something that people are thinking about more in the spring. So right now, I'm kind of just curious. This has been our first real year at market, so we haven't even seen a full 365 cycle yet. So that's one of the things that I'm most concerned with right now, is just how much are we going to be able to retain people through the winter? And for the people that do cancel in the winter, are they going to come back next year?
So how you are reaching people, like, how you are marketing your business on social media?
We are, I would say, 80% Facebook ads, 20% Google ads is the core of it. We've had a little bit of luck with SEO as well. I think we've done a pretty good job in seeding product, getting some influencers, and doing organic social as well. Unfortunately, I think influencers and organic social don't drive a whole lot of business. I think they do serve as social proof to kind of strengthen the funnel for paid social, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think paid social has been the core of it. I do think SEO has been pretty good for us. We've gotten, you know, there are a lot of long tail keywords in lawn care, and we've managed to find some that are, you know, mid funnel, where people are actually in the buying process. And I think some of that traffic has converted. It's hard to know for sure whether those people were originally from an organic search or if or if they, you know, had long ago seen a Facebook ad or something. But
what about like TikTok? And I feel like TikTok is like organic reach, one of the top platforms that, you know, especially when it comes to B2C.
Totally. Yeah, I've talked to some other founders who have had huge luck with that. It seems like that is really working right now. Getting, you know, being able to build and have virtually zero user acquisition costs must be incredible. We have not really been able to crack the code on organic TikTok. And I think we haven't, you know, we've put up some videos that have had a shot, but probably nothing that I would look at and say, yeah, this is definitely going to be it. So it's probably partially just on us to be able to, you know, go harder and come with better content on TikTok. We did try ads on TikTok a little bit, and really incredible how cheap the reach is on there. But it was not, at the time, at least converting for us as well as Facebook. Definitely something for us to consider again. I think one thing that we come back to a lot is just whether our demo is on TikTok as much, because we need to find homeowners. And I think there are homeowners on TikTok. I think it's actually a little bit of a misconception that the TikTok is only, you know, 25 and under. I think it's actually diversified beyond that at this point.
Yeah, definitely.
But we'll probably get back on TikTok ads next spring when we scale back up.
Awesome. Yeah, it's definitely, it's a very big misconception to your point. Many people are on TikTok of different age. I always tell all of our clients, I'm like, y'all need to be on TikTok. Like, if you're not on there, it's a very easy way to reach people, like, organically. So what would you say is your top business priority in the next 3 to 6 months?
Right now, again, because of the seasonality, we are doing a lot of cleanup of our experience for existing customers. So that involves a lot of things, but just things to make it easier and more seamless and more clear which products you need when. I think, you know, we want to just make it simpler for people. And part of that is we're considering switching subscription providers. We are using Recharge right now, and we're evaluating whether we might switch away from them. And then also, I think developing more of the back end that people can use to manage their account. So having kind of a digital version of your magic lawn plan, a digital version, digital output of your soil test results, that's not just a PDF. And ideally getting those into an app. Those are all kind of things that are high on the to-do list. I think, you know, we're investing, like I said, in, we're scaling up the dev team, even though we're scaling down our marketing right now. It's kind of in the, let's get our technical fitness up right now.
Awesome. So what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
Oh, that is a really good question. I would say, even if you don't know how to code, anytime you're working with a dev, look at the code with them and get them to explain to you what the code is doing. It's like, there's so much, if you're outsourcing dev work, there's a high probability that people will use band-aid solutions and not build for the long term. And you should probe and ask questions and make sure that people are building sturdy, dynamic things, not hard coding things. That stuff is really important to get right from the beginning.
Smart. Yeah, it's a big problem that we see in the industry. So what would you say is, you know, if we have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you expect things to go for now?
Oh, I expect we're going to at least 3x in the next 12 months. We did 20x in the last 12. So I think we can be in a much bigger and better spot. I think our customers will be even happier than they are now. We're going to keep expanding our product assortment. We're going to be able to kill any weed that's out there. I think we'll be, hopefully, we're aiming to start scaling up in the spring of next year and raise a Series A on the back of that. So 12 months from now, hopefully we've raised our Series A and we are chugging along to the next level.
Sounds great. So somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you. Do you mind sharing the best way to get in contact with you or your website?
Yeah, the best place to find me is Twitter. My Twitter is Who is Clyde Kelly? And I think that's probably the best place to find me. If my DMs aren't open, I'll check and see if I'll make sure my DMs are open.
Awesome. And then what about like your website for Gnome?
Trygnome.com. TryGnome.com.
Awesome. Well, Clyde, thank you so much for your time. We're rooting for you. Hopefully you guys keep growing, as you said, 3x even more so in the next 12 months.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Great to meet you both.
Yeah.
Likewise. Thanks. Thank you.
Right, thanks, Clyde. Bye. Bye-bye. Have a good day.
Bye, guys. Thank you.